Welcome to the universe we call home, as well as others. Here, we collide the universes of fact and fiction. Are you ready to take it to the max?
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Max Podcast. Today, we're joined by self-appointed nuclear scientist, Zach.
Yeah, guys, that's me. I just finished my degree. We're ready to make bombs bigger than anyone's ever seen before. So, yeah, bomb guy. Nuclear time. Isn't that me?
That's you, Zach.
That's me.
So, what bomb were you looking at? Because I believe you have a pretty high standard. What was the biggest nuclear bomb ever detonated?
There's some Russian one.
The Russians always beat us, don't they?
Well, us. Yeah, us representing the Americans, yeah.
Yeah, so not really us. So them, they always beat them.
Yeah, there. Let's be a bit more formal. Them is what we'll use today. But yeah, those Russians are always ahead of the game.
I hate to get into it, but I think they truly won the space battle because the U.S. just wanted to phrase it as a race so they could win, but...
I mean, everyone was calling it the space race, but I mean, you finish...
But they got to space first. First person in space. First animal in space.
If you're winning the race for 90% of the time and then you fall back in the last 10% of the race, do you win?
But you could just set a new boundary, Zach. You could just say, oh, the race is the first person to get to space. Why was it the moon? The moon had no strategic advantage, but getting to space first, that's a victory.
Well, you could take your stance. Well,
yeah, I will take that stance.
The Russians beat them everywhere else except to the moon.
Yeah, I think the moon was just some kind of thing that the U.S. wanted. Like, obviously, it was an end goal, but like the U.S. threw that in there. They were like, oh, the moon.
I'm pretty sure Apollo 11 was a rushed mission because they thought the Russians were launching a probe earlier.
Well, yeah, because once you set that target, it becomes the race, Zach.
Yeah, well, no, the U.S. thought they were going to launch a rocket to the moon, and so they rushed Apollo 11 to get there first.
And did they send that rocket, Zach?
Yeah, they did. But they never actually went to the moon.
Yeah. But that's not the topic of today's video, is it, though?
No, Max, why don't you tell us everything and everything? Because you're the nuclear scientist. I don't know what you...
I'm pretty sure I introduced you as the acting nuclear scientist.
As the Harvard nuclear scientist.
Harvard grad right here.
Yeah, actually,
He was working in Russia, actually, on some of the new nuclear... I mean, he was working on some stuff.
I worked in a fun facility in the Ukraine, right around near Ferris wheel, kind of near, fun place.
Fun
place.
Fun.
Chernobyl is a fun place to go. I'm an ex-Chernobyl employee. I may be suffering from lung cancer very soon due to the radiation, but that's okay.
I heard the radiation isn't that bad at Chernobyl anymore.
Well, yeah, it was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
50 years
ago. But people still think it's like pretty bad, which is not true.
Yeah, there's a thing called like the elephant foot. That's like a massive just plot of radiation that's just sitting there, and they haven't been able to clean it up because it's just so big. And if it's in a room, right, and if you spend like over 20 minutes in the room, even with all your gas masks and stuff on, you'll still die. Yeah, too much lung cancer.
Well, what if you just don't breathe for 20 minutes, you know?
Oh, Max, you've solved the problem. Why didn't we think of that one before? Why don't we just not breathe?
Because you haven't had skin divers going in there, obviously, Zach.
Yeah, no, Max, we'll send you right in there. Just hold your breath.
What, me?
Yeah, you came up with the genius idea. Why don't you go scoop up the elephant foot in Chernobyl? Yeah, you'll save the day.
What's worse, actually, though? If I went to Chernobyl today, is that worse than going to space, radiation-wise?
I couldn't tell you.
Because
I'm sure space is worse.
I bet space is worse. How long would you have to stay in Chernobyl to be equivalent to a day in space? That's a question.
Probably like a second.
What second in Chernobyl?
Well, it depends how much radiation. Well, it depends if it's a good day or a bad day of solar radiation.
It doesn't matter. That's
not... Solar radiation podcast with your personal astrophysicist, Max, coming soon.
Coming soon. But I think, with that being said, do you want to just hop into the actual topic?
Yeah.
Or do you have any plugs that you would like to plug, Zach?
I'm too... I have too much shame. No, I'm not gonna like increase my
email
shame.
Us to the max 09 to the max podcast 09 at gmail.com. Subscribe.
Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram. Somehow. Follow us on Twitter. Even if we don't post, it's still a good thing to follow.
You know, Max doesn't have that same kind of mindset that I do. So, you know, do what he says. I'm not going to repeat it, but because I just can't. I can't deal with the shameless plugs.
Yeah, okay, so I think the first question I want to get into is just, what is nuclear stuff? As far as, what is nuclear stuff? I mean, it's a broad topic, but I suppose it requires explaining what, you know, is the basis for this. The basis for nuclear weapons power, you know.
I'll give you one word as my answer, Max. Atom. Next question, please.
I mean, I guess atoms are really the answer to everything, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, you could give me a math problem and I could say atom, and I mean, if we're looking for a legitimate answer, it's not wrong.
Wait, how is it not wrong?
Well, the math equation is made up of what? If I'm going to write down my math equation...
Yeah, but what if it's a verbal math... Oh, you're speaking, requiring atoms to move.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, you're right, Zach. What if you're sending it through the interwebs? Because I know you're seeing it on a screen made out of atoms, but it only got there from light, and light isn't made up of atoms, so...
I'm still seeing it on the screen, am I not? Correct?
Okay, We can fix this.
I don't think there's any way to debunk me.
Yeah.
Right?
No, but actually, please do explain a little bit for the viewers.
The viewers, yeah. So
listeners.
While you're watching your blank phone, seeing the photos of us.
We know you have a great life if you're actually doing that.
Yeah, just staring right at your screen, yeah.
Just watching that bar climb on, you're like, oh man, we're almost at...
Come on, 5 minutes.
We're almost at 6:45.
Oh, we're almost gonna make it.
Yeah, but please do.
Exactly. Well, atoms, splitting atoms. Split atom, make boom.
I suppose we'll get into this in more depth because that was a great answer right there.
Split atom, go boom, turn turbine, make energy.
So it's like, I mean, I guess, I think we should dive more deep into it once we get to certain sections, but I think, when was it first discovered that we could harness power stored in atoms?
Well, there's a good old chap by the name of, I'm going to let you try and pronounce this good fella's name. Why don't you take a look, huh? The 1930s was when it was first discovered by the renowned physicist...
Enrico Fermi.
Yeah, there it is. Good old Enrico. Can always count on him to be with the new innovation
but
in the
wasn't
world.
This also sort of a lot to do with Einstein, actually, because of his E=mc², because that says that basically there's energy within mass, you know?
I'm sure Einstein had something to do with it. I mean, Einstein has said something to do with
Einstein,
almost every scientific
But I'm
relation.
Pretty sure Einstein was a big part of, actually, the nuclear weapons for World War II.
Einstein never worked on the Manhattan Project.
I know, but, you know...
They probably did use his formulas, but...
You know, this isn't a history podcast.
Yeah, no,
this is a science podcast.
You don't
podcast.
Come to us for that. No, not at all. Well, in the 1930s, it was first thought of by good old Enrico that, hey, why don't we just, if we could, split that atom... And then we
release
could,
the energy stored inside it.
Exactly. And then finally, about 12 years later in 1942, he and a team at, I think it was Chicago University, finally did it off of a chain reaction with a uranium atom. So
was Enrico part of the Manhattan Project?
I don't know if Enrico was, but I can figure that out for you. But all I do know is Enrico first discovered that, hey, atom splitting can make boom, and make boom, make energy.
So I suppose a good question to ask, in my opinion at least, is what were the actual first thoughts as far as just about, you know, the fact that they could release huge amounts of energy and that could be used for deadly results? What were the first thoughts? Did people think about the fact that this could be used for good things, or was it just a negative thoughts? I don't know.
Well, it wasn't really widely spread that, hey, we've got this thing that can make so much energy it can decimate a city.
You know, you don't want to share that in wartime, do you?
No, yeah, not at all, especially with a certain fella rising to power in good old Germany. But, yeah.
Certain fella.
But, yeah, they didn't really, it's not like they went around telling everyone that, hey, we got this, And it wasn't, of course, really told to the world until 1945, when a certain thing happened in Japan.
Zach, could you remind me what this certain thing was?
Well, I'll give you the background of this certain thing. So there's the Manhattan Project. The Manhattan Project was a very secretive project going on. Yeah, I'll just call it a secret project happening in the States. It was in, like, New Mexico. They even brought, like, an entire city, or about, like, 10,000 people together to live in the city. And all those people had no idea what was happening. But it was just so that Russian spies, like, couldn't say, oh, what's this suspicious activity? No, this is just the city.
Yeah,
nothing could happen here.
Just the city, eh?
There's not that big crater over there that, like, decimated about 2 kilometers in diameter. No.
That's just a mining operation by the people of the city.
And it's an open pit mine, guys. Yeah, and I believe there was only one really good test of the atom bomb before the fun events of 1945 that actually worked. And so when they dropped it, the people inside the one plane that dropped it were talking to themselves, and it was took, I believe, 53 seconds for it to decimate once it dropped out of the plane. And one of them didn't even think it was going to work. And he was on the plane, too, and he was just trying to, like, oh, no, it's not going to work. And then the plane kind of shook a little bit. There's a little bit of a turbulence, some mild turbulence.
A little bit, eh?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, no, never mind. And they turned behind them, and they could see it was not fun.
So, you know, there's a lot of negative thoughts over nuclear power and just nuclear in general because of this fun example that you've just described to us, and of course, Chernobyl. And of course, as it was used for war first, which, you know, is usually the way it is for a lot of inventions, unfortunately.
Well, then again, inventions are usually, or at least innovation, is sped up during wartime.
Yeah. Yeah, wartime is good. Therefore, United States should go to war with, the Middle East again?
Yeah, and then we'll have new cars. Yay! That's what we want.
It will promote electric cars, Zach, because they're going to be sending all their oil to power their ships, Zach.
Exactly, and then Elon Musk will get to be the first trillionaire, and it'll be great.
It will be great, won't it?
Yeah. Don't we just love war? Isn't it? War just great?
But I think this is where, like, a lot of the negative thoughts around it, you know, come from in the first place. It's just because of the fact that, A, it is a massive weapon of destruction.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't want to be powering something, especially if it's near a city. Imagine. Just think about the public backlash.
Oh, there was lots of public backlash at Chernobyl, and the reason that it was, at least it's still brought up today, was because instead of trying to control it, the Soviets were like, oh, no, nothing's happened here. They put on a good smile and a thumbs up in front
of
the camera.
Definitely not because they were a communist country.
Yeah, trying to keep a good image. But no, it was just trying to appeal some people. And they didn't really tackle it as well as they could have.
So I suppose that brings up the question, is this fear actually warranted about, especially nuclear power? Because obviously, it is warranted for nuclear bombs. There's clear proof that we should be scared of those.
Yep, very clear proof.
But do you think that there should be fear for nuclear power plants?
Well, the risk is high, but the reward is almost higher. There is no greenhouse gas or emissions from any nuclear power plant, and in the situation we're in with climate change, that is a very good thing, because
Zach, climate change doesn't exist. There's no problems with air.
It's a hoax. Yeah, I forgot. It's a hoax. Yep. We shouldn't even be, like, talking about it, because just, what's the point? We're just talking about conspiracies at this point. Yeah, welcome back to the Max, your official podcast for conspiracies. Come here, we talk with our flat earth friends.
I heard the lizard people were getting quite disappointed with your lies, Zach.
Yeah, they were giving me bad reviews from under the sewers of New York City.
But, so, I mean, what if I do bring up Chernobyl, though? Because even though it was poorly contained, it still has killed a lot of people,
well,
has it not?
It's killed a few. I mean, directly from Chernobyl, it killed about 50 people. And from the radiation spread, it's killed a few more. But then again, it was handled horribly. The factory was run down. It was just horribly put together. It wasn't horribly put together. It was It was put together well, but then time happened, got old, things needed to be replaced.
Man, I hate time.
And when a communist government rushes things over the actual well-being of people and the things they're working with, things could go wrong, especially when working with things like nuclear energy.
But if it's so dangerous, Zach, why are we working with it?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, high reward. Lots of almost constant energy at no cost. Well, no cost recently. No cost until something bad happens.
So, then, I suppose we should ask, how is this power actually generated in the first place?
Well, you've got your uranium, right? You've got your nice uranium.
So we've got a heavy, we have a very heavy element.
Yeah, you've got your uranium, and then you give it a little push. You give it a little push, and it combines. And
I don't think uranium combines, Zach.
It combines with some other uranium.
No, it splits.
It splits after combining with the uranium.
Okay.
Yeah. And then fission. Yeah. Isn't it fission, Max?
I believe it is, but are you sure that they actually combine, Zach?
At least in the atom bomb, they combined with something else.
Yeah, but that's because it's in the atom bomb. You're ramming them together in order to immediately build up energy. Because in a normal one, they're actually quite radioactive, the things that are used in nuclear reactors, I believe.
And well, to split it, you shoot it at another one, and then that one splits in half.
Yeah, because you're forcing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that can cause a chain reaction. And I suppose, from my understanding of it, that's kind of the problems that can cause nuclear meltdowns, correct?
That, but to make the energy, it splits, and that chain reaction of splitting creates a lot of heat, and that heat is taken and also becomes steam, and that steam...
To power turbines?
...goes into a turbine to make electricity, boom, bang, boom.
But if it's not cooled properly with the cooling rods, they can either react too quickly and heat up things way too much, right?
And blow up.
And yeah. Blow up.
Yeah, there's lots of potential for error, but if treated with the right amount of care and the necessary precautions taken in place and the proper facility that's being updated as time goes on and things like Chernobyl won't happen, then it kind of seems like, hey, why not? Why don't we just do this?
Well, what about like fusion or fission? Fusion.
Fusion.
So fusion Ooh. Is the, it's sort of the other side of the coin for fusion. Or
fission.
Fission, sorry. Why am I getting these two mixed up?
Don't worry, it's only a couple letter difference.
Yeah, so so it is the other side of the coin as far as nuclear reactions go. And this is the thing that happens in the sun.
Yeah, let's go look at us guys. We're making it all the way. We're basically the same as the sun, just on a very, 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 very smaller scale.
But if there's one thing we know about the sun, we know that it generates a lot of energy.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty clear. The sun is an infinite source of energy, or at least infinite in our lives, source of energy. There's not going to be anything in the next billion years that's going to change that.
And so it generates all this energy from fusion. But how does fusion work, Zach?
Well, Max, take us on a journey. Give us a picture in our brain.
I just asked you, what if I don't know?
What if I don't know, Max? What if I got to throw that back on you?
Well, fusion, I believe, is when you combine two smaller elements, usually done with hydrogen, because it's, you know, the smallest element, the lightest, and it's the most readily combinable. Is that a word?
We'll go with it. We'll just go with it.
And basically, when you combine this into a heavier thing, for example, helium, or whatever else you get when you combine two hydrogens somehow, you just get two hydrogens and you have some kind of weird ion of helium, it has less mass than the two individual ones had. And this is basically because energy has been released in this case.
And that is the energy that the sun makes, and also what we're making.
And it's, from what I know, a lot more powerful than fission.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. I mean, if it happens in the sun, it's got to be pretty damn important. It's got to be pretty powerful if it's going on in there.
So we, knowing it was more powerful, decided...
to make a bomb!
An even better bomb. So, Zach, explain, how did we decide to make the hydrogen bomb?
Well, I can't tell you because I wasn't in the press room with like JFK and Nixon.
But how do we actually make it though?
Well, to simplize it for you, fission, fusion, fission. If that would make any sense in anyone's mind.
It probably won't, so you might need to explain it a tad bit.
Okay, we'll dizzle-dazzle our way into that. But yeah, basically, you've got your fission. It starts off with fission. It's a two-section reaction. So there's two stages, sorry, not two sections. And the first section is the fission. So that it's just regular fission to make the heat.
And fission why creates do they a make lot this of heat. So why do they need this heat for the first part of the reaction?
Oh, come on, Sherlock. You tell me, Sherlock.
Yeah, but what if the people don't know? I'm asking for the people, Zach.
Well, I'm asking for you to tell the people. That's what I'm asking.
They need that amount of energy in order to fuse together the other elements in order for the fusion to take place. Correct, Zach?
I believe so. The heat allows for fusion to take place, I'm pretty sure, because there's a moment after the fission. Well, if you watch any documentary on, like, Hiroshima or Nagasaki, there's a moment where it lights up pretty a lot. There's a lot of light. It sparks up.
And you might say there's a lot of light.
Yeah, for a brief moment, and then it goes away. But that light creates so much heat that it allows fusion to happen.
Now, how hot is that, just roughly?
I believe seeing something where it was over 50 or 500 Kelvin. I know those are very
500,
different.
500, Zach. That's so low. I believe it's in the 500 million Kelvin.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Kelvin.
I missed a key word.
That key word was million.
Yeah, I missed a little key word. We'll ignore that.
So that's pretty hot. To those who don't know, the Kelvin scale is basically the Celsius scale, except it starts at absolute zero. And so that's about negative 273.1 degrees Celsius, something like that.
At 0.0? Sure, we'll go with that number. Any renowned scientists in the listening, correct us if we're wrong, send us an email.
Yeah, well, but there's definitely those guys listening.
Yeah, Neil, if you're joining us again, you'll come back and talk all about nuclear with him.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
So, which one do you think we'll be using more in the future? Fusion or fission?
Oh, definitely fusion.
No, Zach, I was going to say, and we'll get right back to that after the break.
Hold on. Actually, I think I forgot the question. Do you want to ask me it one more time just to see?
And which one, fusion or fission, do you think we'll be using more in the future?
I couldn't give you an answer right now. I think I'll need a quick ad break to think over it.
Yeah, once you make us some money, Zach, we will think. Thank you. We'll be right back. And we're back. And Zach, are you ready to answer the question?
Max, I thought we discussed at the break that you were going to be the one answering this question.
So, Zach, what do you think we'll be using more in the future? Fission or fusion? Because, you know, there's trade-offs to both. Fusion is a lot easier to recreate. And with the negative aura sort of surrounding a lot of nuclear power, might be a lot harder to convince people to use a highly dangerous, more powerful thing, even if it gives us a lot more energy in return. You gotta look at both sides of this.
Well, I'm gonna use my phone a friend, just like I would on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and call up my friend Max, who said he's a very renowned nuclear scientist and loves these sort of things. So let's see if I can get him on the line.
Well, obviously, we have to say that from a scientific and energy standpoint, there's no way we should be settling with using fusion when
fission.
We have when we have fusion available to us. But again, the public is a stupid problem.
I know, those damn people.
No, but actually, Germany, they're closing down almost the entire nuclear fleet, I heard, and
due to public array.
Because it's unsafe, and you know what they're replacing them with, Zach?
gas, fossil fuels.
Those coal-spitting, particle-producing, producing global warming, speeding, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
we hate those. Is that safer in any way?
Yeah, guys, don't worry, you'll be safe tomorrow, but in 2 years when you have to be breathing out of an oxygen mask, don't thank us then.
Yeah, it's just not very smart.
But no, that's not up to us. Are we Angela Merkel?
But what I'm saying is, it's very hard, and this shows up everywhere, but it's very hard for people to use actual logic and reason to decide something.
Isn't that just such a sad fact, that logic and reason are just debated?
You know, we had to use it quite a bit in order to get to where we are today, as far as scientifically. And you think people would appreciate the fact that their phones are created because people use the logic and reason to discover the ways of science. But no, they prefer to not think of that, and instead react emotionally to things that they don't even know about.
Society.
So, Zach, what's your opinion on this? Do you agree with my take about, like, the fact that we should go, obviously, fusion, but it just might be very difficult to...
I do. It's just controlling it. I mean, the public does have a good point. It's kind of unsafe, and it can turn out very bad, and that's something to be scared of.
It is something to be scared of, but we should be more scared of, you know, if it's replacing a coal or any kind of fossil fuel burning thing. Long term, it's far more safe, no matter what.
It's true. I mean, yeah, I would agree. As long as
especially as we have technology that approaches, like, more understanding. Sorry for cutting you off there, Zach.
Never recover. I just cut you off. I took it back. I took it back.
So as our technology advances, I think, at least from an actual scientific standpoint, it will be very safe, especially compared to what it might be replacing. And of course, we can fall back on fission, if you know, we don't get ever the approval for fusion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it comes down to, are we able to make it safe enough that we're not going to blow up half the country?
And can we make it safe enough that non-believers will be able to accept it?
Well, that comes down to people. I don't think people will ever be, or most, some people just never will change their mind. Flat earthers, even after proving themselves wrong, still believe that they were stupid. But, you know, that's fine. Their information was wrong, even though they were the ones that came up with it.
So...
Actually, that would make sense, because they are not the brightest tools in the shed.
You mean not the sharpest?
Sharpest tools in the shed, the brightest fashion.
Zach, I don't think you're the sharpest tool.
Manish, don't check my Discord. I may be in a couple communities that you don't really approve of with my Flat Earth buddies.
So, when do you think that we will actually start moving to nuclear, especially with, like, the sad sight of seeing Germany close down its nuclear things? Especially, you think Germany's such a progressive place. Tech-wise, at least. I have no idea what political messaging they're trying there.
Maybe they got in your head. Maybe now you're backing a fascist regime, now that you think they're so... just innovation.
No, but I don't like them for getting rid of the nuclear. But when do you think that the world will overall decide that nuclear is a good bet?
Well, there's the Paris Agreement that a bunch of countries signed and the U.S. backed out of, which was pretty bad.
But then they backed out of the backing out.
Did Joe Biden undo that, Zach? He put them back in?
Yeah.
Oh, good for them. But then again, all the countries in are not even close to making their goal
and
in the carbon reduction.
It's an agreement, not a law by any means, and the laws, who would they enforce it?
Yeah, themselves. But then again, just for the people who don't know, the Paris Agreement, it's a bunch of countries signed it to try and reduce the carbon emissions to stop global warming, and no one is anywhere near close. Everyone's still making the same and more carbon, but eventually we'll make our way down. But a quicker and more alternative solution, or a better alternative solution, would be nuclear.
Because
would be to put the time and the money into making it stable, into making it safe.
Making it widely available.
Yeah. Instead of waiting all this time to see your little graph go down a little bit.
Because we could close all these coal plants and replace them with something that's better. We don't have to, you know, make sure that the environment's sunny enough for solar panels, or windy enough, or has a stream nearby so it can power its little hydro dam. No, nuclear works everywhere. And it's relatively when I say relatively easy, I mean by no means easy. But I mean that, I mean, as far as fixing one of the huge problems with climate change, I think this is a fix that needs to be done.
And I would agree. I mean, closing down oil and closing down fossil fuel industries are very kind of hard to do, especially with their intake on the economy. It's kind of hard to just slash them. But if you could, you definitely should. And but obviously you can't, because they run the big business. They make all the money.
They support political campaigns.
Yeah. But if slowly and steadily you can start to trickle down on them, you can start to take in less of them,
here's a reverse thing. You take away all subsidies you're giving to the fossil fuels, and you instead give it to the nuclear industry.
You think they'd be very happy about that?
No. But you gotta make some people upset, Zach. They're never gonna be happy, but their job is unfortunately not good. And the best thing is, you're not taking people out of jobs, because there are jobs to be done in you know, nuclear factories and stuff.
Well, there's a lot of jobs. I don't think they would equally trans over.
Yeah.
But Joe Biden already lost a lot of jobs on his first day in office. Who's to say he won't do it again? But that's not up for us. This is not a political podcast.
But, Zach, there is one problem with nuclear power.
Yeah?
Radioactive waste. I mean, everyone's scared of it, Zach, but what is it?
Everyone but Homer Simpson. Anyone get that that Simpsons reference?
You just say Family Guy. You were about to say Family Guy.
No.
You even said Homer Simpson.
No, you didn't hear it. And no one's even here to listen to it, so they didn't hear it either. So that's the
point. If Zach says something stupid on the podcast, but no one's listening to it, did it really happen?
Yeah, did anyone say it? No. I don't think so. But no. Yeah, nuclear waste. Kind of bad. No, not just kind of bad. Very bad. Very bad. But is it as scary? Max, what's your take?
I love how you just deflect everything back to me.
Oh, I thought I was pretty good at that one.
So, I believe radioactive waste is, obviously, which this might sound very simple once I say it, but it's materials that are radioactive, Zach.
Oh, you heard it here first, folks. Jeez, couldn't have seen that coming.
So these are particles that are, you know, are radioactively are decaying or have contacted radioactive stuff, and this means they emit radiation, which is, you know, there's the big fear of irradiation, but does anyone realize that the sun is emitting a ton of radiation, including light?
I think we take the ozone layer for granted a bit too much.
Yeah.
I think people really don't like to give their daily worship and prayer to the ozone layer for all the good things it does to us.
You know, if the ozone layer is destroyed, we're kind of screwed, you know?
Kind of everyone will have to become moles and live underground or wear spacesuits every time they go outside.
What a weird world that would be.
And even with the spacesuit, you can still get cancer. That's why the spacewalks are limited to, like, less than
that.
They can't be out there for so long.
Because...
Get cancer. But, yeah.
So basically the problem with the radioactive waste, as I understand, is that basically it's very hard to dispose of it. Because you can't send it off into space, because you'd blow up your rocket on the launch pad, killing everyone, be Challenger all over.
And you can't just dump it, because it's radioactive, it will spread.
So you have to bury it very deep underground, right near the bodies I've buried.
And moving on! Max, why don't you tell us about how much radioactive waste comes from a nuclear power plant? Or at least, in general.
Obviously, Zach.
And why don't you give me a number down to the cubic meter of radioactive waste? Why don't we,
Well, for every cubic meter of radioactive waste, 96% of it is recycled back into the fission process, I believe.
So it's actually what is there to be worried about?
Quite self-sustaining. However, there's different levels to this radiation. It's categorized as, like, low level, medium, and high. And the high level makes up just 3% of the volume of all radioactive waste. Yet it makes up 95% of it by radioactivity. So by the amount of radioactive stuff it emits.
So 3% of all the waste coming from it makes 95% of all the total radiation.
Which is a big difference.
Yeah, so 3% is making up 97%.
This is the stuff that's emitting, like, gamma particles. The stuff that goes through tons of ground. This is the very dangerous stuff, high energy. You know, you don't have to worry about the alpha and beta particles. Those things get stopped by paper and walls. This stuff is the stuff we worry about. You're not going to turn into the Hulk, you're just going to die.
Bad things happen with this kind of stuff. So then, should we be worried? Or can we deal with this radiation, and how could we deal with it? Because we can't launch it into space, or space. So is there a way to, like, build a big elevator and then just, like, push it into space without actually making a rocket?
Just carry it up to space.
Yeah, you know, build a ladder.
What if we tie it to the outside of the spaceship, Zach?
Just give it a hot air, put it on a hot air balloon, and just keep rising it up.
That's a good one, Zach. That definitely will work.
Yeah, let's go give our pitch to the World Health Organization. Let's go. So hey guys, I've got a PowerPoint to show you.
It's a PowerPoint. It's 4 pages, so you don't have to stick around for long. But it's a pretty revolutionary thing.
But the big picture is what we want to focus on, and we don't have much to say. But the idea still stands.
We just put it in a hot air balloon, okay?
So. And it goes up! And then we don't deal with it.
Because air floats.
Yeah.
On air. But yeah.
Thanks, guys. Alright, well, back on the flight home. thanks for coming out to see us today.
So I think, especially if it is recycled at any of the amounts that you have seen, because you did write down 96%. Again, not completely sure on that. Could be only some places, because it could be like up to 94%, you know, are recycled or whatnot.
Yeah, so take it with a grain of salt.
But if that is actually true, that's very good. And again, I mean, we can dig a lot of holes.
Let's not underestimate our ability to bury things. Right, Max?
Think about all the systemic things we've buried.
Yeah, well, we're digging up fossil fuels, why don't we just put the...
Replace it, you know, Zach, yeah. We'll do a little switcheroo.
Yeah, take it up. There's already a bunch of holes there, probably, so just chuck it all in there.
Yeah, I think, obviously, you know, at a certain point, we might have a problem, but right now, Zach, as the humans love to, you know, deal with all situations, if it's not a problem now, let's keep doing it.
Yeah. Isn't that a great mindset that just our society has? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if it's going to be broken later, then we ignore it.
Yeah, so... With that being said, I think that's going to be drawing on a close for today's episode.
Yeah, I've had a radioactive time talking with you about this, Max.
You deserve to die for that.
What do you mean, man? I thought it was a good one.
So, with that being said, guys, I want you guys to have a safe and fantastic rest of your day. Make sure to take it to the max, and we'll catch you in the next one. See ya.